There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome to the podcast. We are back with chapter 12. I think this is chapter 12 for Ant-Man. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out how the largest group we've ever had has assembled for Ant-Man.
Yep.
But there it is. It's true. We have Daniel, Jacob, Josh, Megan, Mackenzie, and Rob are all here. This week, as we continue on, as we move on from Avengers Age of Ultron, we are introduced to a new character, Scott Lang, as a petty thief who...
He's a burglar.
Sorry, he's...
A bank robber.
He's not even a burglar. Is he a burglar?
He's a cat burglar.
Yes, he's a cat burglar.
He's amazing.
Who stumbles across a suit while he steals from Hank Pym's house. Wealthy scientist man, Hank Pym. And... soon and quickly becomes the Ant-Man and has to stop a guy from doing things and...
becoming a wasp.
And from becoming a wasp.
This is
So, let's just get it out of the way here, everybody. What did you think of Ant-Man? Was this anybody's first time seeing it?
Yes, it was mine.
One, two, three. It was your first time seeing it, too?
Yeah, oh, I thought
you hadn't seen it. No.
Well, the girls I know hadn't seen a lot of them, but I thought that you'd seen this one.
No, I didn't see it. I wasn't interested in it. After I seen, like, the first trailer, I was like, oh, this is trash. And I stopped watching.
Yeah, Jacob's go-to move is trash. If it's, that's his thing. It's trash. So what did you think? Let's hear what you thought of Ant-Man.
This surprised me. I thought I was going to, like, hate it a lot. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. It was, like... it was better than Thor the Dark World, for sure. But, like, it, like, kind of surprised me because, like, I paid attention to what the story was. And, like, him going to jail a lot or, like, him having, like, that stealing, like, kind of, like, flaw to him. It's also, like, another, like, inner, like, demon thing that, like, every hero faces.
Yeah.
So his is, like, crimes and, like, ending, like, back up to square one, which was the jail cell. So I feel like the daughter and, like, father relationship kind of thing kind of, like, brought the story a little bit more together. Because, yeah, like, it gave Scott something to, like, fight for.
Excuse
like,
me.
To, like, try and, like, protect things, yeah.
Scott, like, his, how he got into being, like, the Ant-Man, I think, is one of the more, like, interesting and slightly confusing ways that they... became, and the fact that he was this, like, criminal guy who's, like, looking almost for redemption, I think is quite interesting. Like, I mean, like, compared to, like, I guess, like...
Hawkeye,
yeah, I guess.
We know nothing about...
Hawkeye!
Because nobody really likes Hawkeye until Age of Ultron, and then people like Hawkeye,
I mean,
because...
okay.
They tolerate Hawkeye.
Well, people tolerate Hawkeye.
Hawkeye's not even that bad. Like, let's be real here.
Well, we've been fairly clear on our feelings toward Hawkeye, especially
once
in the
again,
Ultron
he's a
episode.
Once again, he's a forgettable character.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But
not really.
I like him.
He's not forgettable.
Sorry, were you done?
Yes.
Okay, what do you guys think?
I actually didn't think it was half bad. I thought it was funny. I thought it was clever. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I liked the whole thing where he was with the ant, like, actually in with the ants, because I just thought that he was going to be, like, a random guy in a little costume running around, because that would be weird. But, like,
so
he's...
so basically the rest of the Avengers?
Captain America.
but
Iron Man?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Okay.
I mean, I thought it was fine. I mean, I'm comparing it to, like, the two bad Marvel movies, the Thor and the Iron Man 2.
The Thor 2 and Iron Man 2, yeah.
Like, those were painful, but, like, this one wasn't painful. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Okay. Kenzie?
From what I heard from everybody talking about it, I thought it was going to be like Halle Berry's Catwoman bad or...
Oh, no, it's not that bad. Few things are that bad.
Or the Wolverine movie with Ryan... No, not him.
Oh, you're talking about... Wolverine Origins
yes,
or whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes, I thought it was going to be that bad, but like...
His, like, debut or
but then after watching it, it's like, think of a movie that's like 50-50 bad.
So average?
It's yeah, I think that's what she's saying.
It's okay.
It's okay. It was she kind of liked it.
It's different.
Yeah.
If I had to watch it again, I'd watch it. If it was like a life or death situation. I'd
that's good because you have to watch it again. No, I'm kidding.
It's it's not something I would watch over and over and over again. Like say Deadpool, but like if I would watch it. Like if someone was watching it, I would watch it with them. There were some funny parts that I liked. Now that I think about it, I forgot them all now. but there was funny parts.
And that's about what you say about Ant-Man. It's just forgettable.
Yes.
Hawkeye.
It's also forgettable.
The thing I remember most about this movie when I finished watching it was Baskin-Robbins.
I
really wanted Baskin-Robbins after this.
That guy's tie creeped me out.
Baskin-Robbins don't play.
Like, we should go to Baskin-Robbins.
We could do Baskin. No, it's too late.
Baskin-Robbins always finds out.
No, it's not. It's like right up there.
So this was not my first time seeing this movie. And the first time I did see it, I wasn't a big fan. Like, it was just kind of like really out of place, I felt, in the whole the timeline. So I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. You know, the jokes weren't that funny. But I do have a little bit more appreciation for it this time, but I kind of agree with Mackenzie. It's like a 50-50, like, you know, could be a lot better, but it could be a lot worse.
It's certainly, to me, on the lower end. It's really, I like to joke about how bad it is. It really, I think that's, but that's the best praise I can give it, is I feel like it's not that bad. You know, it's one of these movies that, like, it almost has an identical plot to Iron Man in a number of ways, except that he doesn't get captured and, you know, held hostage. He's in prison and he's sort of brought, I don't even know. It's with the villain, again, the villain holding the corporation, and then you do, it's just, the movie doesn't jive with me. I think when I watched it for the first time, I was actually kind of enjoying it. And I do, there's funny parts in this movie. This movie's kind of funny. But what jars me every time, what I always find jarring, no, that's a word. What I always find jarring is when you're watching it and he's riding on a surfboard of ants. And that's the moment I go, oh yeah, he commands the ants. And that's when the movie's done for me. It's like, we've got Avengers that are demigods and can fly.
And this man commands ants.
And he commands the ants.
I mean, that doesn't sound that bad.
Really?
What?
Could be like
what?
The flower man.
Commands the flowers.
Poland.
You know.
I choose you.
In another 10 years, who knows? Maybe flower man is the next one entry in. Marvel Universe is awfully large.
Is there a Catman?
He's like
Catwoman, but is there Catman?
Catman.
The flowers. No. The flower superhero is some 60-year-old florist who like.
I mean, like in Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, it was a guy in a suit going around with webs.
Hey, don't even diss Spider-Man.
No, not just Spider-Man.
That's not what she's saying.
But at least not in the movie. He commands spiders. He controls all spiders, right?
He has powers.
That would be a terrible skill.
Now maybe if you listen to what I was trying to say, maybe you can get somewhere.
I don't.
It's okay.
Sorry,
chill,
but anyway.
Chill. What about the movie did you guys actually like? What about this movie did you... Because I'm getting sort of mediocre things, but nobody's saying it's awful. Nobody's saying
I like the ants. Like, I like the...
Megan's into the ants.
I like the... Not into the ants.
That's not what I meant.
Oh, I'm
well. Take me to a funky town.
What?
I've got I think
Jacob was wait, let her finish.
But yeah, it was really good how
I'm an animal person, so that's maybe why I like the ants.
Oh, that's fair.
But like I liked that there were different ants, and it wasn't just like the typical ant. There were fire ants, and there were like
Crazy.
Others.
Other ants.
They're all sorts of ants. Fire ants, other ants.
That one with the wings that died.
Yeah, those crazy ants were cool.
Did the crazy ants do anything?
Yeah, they were the ones that electrocuted.
And
they were like,
right.
Sorry. No, but I like how he, when he gets out of prison, the one he does all of this just to prove to his ex-wife and his snobby cop, fiance, whatever, that he can be better for his daughter, which is one of my favorite characters, the little girl, Cassie was her name.
Cassie, yeah.
He was trying to do better for his daughter. I don't think that risking his life and controlling ants was the right way to go, but hey, do whatever you have to, right?
I don't know if controlling ants was the right way to go. I don't think that was his goal. You know,
no.
I can impress my daughter by controlling the ants. My spiritual goal is controlling ants.
One part of this movie that I really liked was all of the characters who like weren't the main characters. I think they saved this movie for me from being like, for it saved it to being 50-50 and not utter garbage.
His crew. His crew's great. Guy.
Yeah, Michael Pena. They're so funny. Like the three guys.
Those guys are cool.
Oh my lord.
They're cool. I look. They up were to funny. Them.
Yeah. You look up to them?
No, I'm kidding.
I agree with you, Josh. I think the supporting cast in this one is in some ways stronger than a lot of the other movies we've seen so far. Like, you know, any of the ones that sort of focus on the main guy, or woman, I guess. No, actually main guy, because there isn't a female-led film, I don't think, yet. Not from Marvel. But the supporting cast, I think, was really strong on this one. Like, the smaller characters, they were really entertaining.
Like, the Latino guy, what was his name?
Michael Pena's. I don't know what his character's name was. I just know the actor.
He was funny.
Anyway, we brought some of the flashbacks. And then, like, I like how in the flashbacks, they're, like, not really good at acting, but they make it really comedic, too. They're, like... Like, I saw this one guy, he's like, oh, this chick's, like, really hot. And he could tell that they knew that they were being voiced over by somebody else because that's how bad the acting was, but it was really funny at the same time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about Scott Lang's character? What do you think about Scott himself?
I like him.
Why?
Because he's, like, he's not relatable, really. Like, maybe to, like...
Wait, that's why you like him? Is he's not relatable?
So, like, the reason why I like him is, like, he's kind of, like, humorous. And he's, like, unique in his own way. Because, like, all, like, the heroes in the Marvel Universe are unique in their own way. For either for the good or for the worse. But I feel like he's, like, really, he, like, tries. What's that word for try? Otherwise, try.
Try is the word for try.
No, I mean, like... What's that word for not giving up?
Perseverance?
Yes. He's very persevering. Because, like, even though he failed, like, technically he's failed his daughter, quote-unquote.
He
will think that he failed his daughter. But, like, the thing is, like, people that, like, have, like, separated parents could, like, kind of appreciate this a little bit because, like, he's constantly trying. And, like, I'm not saying, like, I have, like, bad parents, but, like, they're all, like, separated, right? But it's for the good. But, like, it's kind of like that because, like, if I didn't live without my dad, it'd be different. But the good thing is because he's persevering, and I can relate that to my dad and me, right? Because, like, he persevered.
Mm.
So, stuff along those lines. So I feel like people that have, like, separated parents or, like, either, like my mom and dad are still friends. But, like, I feel like no matter what, if they're, like, separated, it's still, like, one of those single parents that persevere a lot to, like... keep in the relationship. So that I think that's what I like about him a lot is because he doesn't give up.
Okay. Good. Anyone else?
Big shot.
What do you think about Scott himself?
Like I said, I think the way that he became Ant-Man is one of the more interesting ways that someone becomes like a superhero. Like the fact that he's like this thief guy who is this old guy basically sets him up to steal from his house. Ooh. And then frees him out of prison, and then he controls ants. It's a little bit weird, but no, but like
the fact that it was a little bit, like, out there made, like, his, like, I don't want to say, like, backstory, but, like, the way...
His journey, his hero's journey.
Yeah, sure. Is, like, really different from the rest of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree.
Going to what Josh said, I like how when the old guy breaks him out of prison and then goes to the house and he's like... And then Scott's like, okay, you know what? Sneaking in the houses, stealing some shit, I'm over that. And then the old guy responds with, you're going to go into this building, you're going to steal some shit. Stop. So he's basically, he stopped stealing for the worse good and he's doing it for the greater good, so to speak, kind of, which... Sure,
I've never seen that, but yeah. You've seen Robin Hood? Really?
I mean, if I were to compare him to that,
I don't know, I've never seen it.
He could be kind of Robin Hood, like, if, like, in a different way, obviously, because Robin Hood does not control ants.
he controls the Robins, yeah, actually. He's Birdman. Oh, no, that's another movie.
That's Robin.
Birdman. What movie is that? Like,
Birdman.
If his name is Robin Hood, then why does he wear green tights?
Ooh, but yeah.
Anyway, back to where we're going here. Like,
if you could, like, you could probably compare him to like a legitimate Marvel hero, for like kind of like Robin Hood, due to the fact like he kind of like does things for like he does like things for the good, but he does it in like a not hero way. Kind of like stealing is not usually something you would see out of a hero. So like, I feel like he's obviously a hero. He's not an anti-hero or anything. no pun intended. Yeah. Anti. But, But no, like, I feel like he's, like, trying to do things for the good. He's just doing them in a different way. Than, like, because Captain America, he doesn't rob from people to get, like, better world. And, like, you don't see, like, Thor or anything stealing to get better. He's just doing...
But is he stealing to get better? Because Robin Hood robbed from the rich to give to the poor.
So he's stealing? Like he could have gotten the poor something. Like, Robin Hood, he could have done it in a different way. But then if he didn't do it in a different way, then it would have, like, ruined the movie.
He's stealing from Mr. Clean for Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, hey.
Now there's a summary. He's stealing from Mr. Clean... For Colonel Sanders.
I want credit for Mr. Clean.
Apologies to Michael Douglas, but not to Corey Stoll, oddly enough.
Well, I don't know, to kind of like tie in like the Robin Hood, like obviously he stole from the rich to give to the poor, and in this case it's like he's stealing from the bad to give to the good.
But is he?
I mean, they set up Mr. Bald.
What's his name? Yet another forgettable villain.
Shiny man.
Mirror forehead. I don't know. Whatever.
Mirror man.
Does he have a name?
He does have a name. It is
Cross. He
is Dr. There it is.
Yeah, Cross.
Oh.
He looks cross for most of the movie.
They set like, you know, Cross up to be like the bad guy, but I don't know. I feel like Cross isn't. Like, his motive for having the, like, wasp, or not the wasp, the...
Yellow jacket suit.
Like, he just wants to make more of them for, like, the army. So I feel like it's not that bad.
Well, except he sells them to Hydra.
Well, I don't know. Well, and also, they kind of set up, like, the yellow jackets would be almost like what Ultron was supposed to be. Like a shield for the Earth. So, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird movie.
It is a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can I clear something up?
No. Yes, you may. Go ahead.
What was the point of making the yellow jacket thing? Was he trying to save... Was he trying to destroy the world? Or was he trying to build an army to do what?
I don't think he was trying to do any of that. I think what he's trying to do is make money.
Yeah.
When he talks about it, he talks about how... he's gonna make $15 billion in the first day. Like, it's about money. Go ahead, Robbie.
No, it was, like, literally about when he sold the yellow jacket to Hydra that he said, okay, I'm selling you the suit, but what it runs on is not gonna be free.
Hmm.
And I forgot the saying what he said to Hank Pym about, like, what do you call the man who's the... What, the powerfulest man in the world?
What do you call the man in the world?
No, what do you...
Powerful weapon in the world. The most powerful man in the world.
Yeah, see, it's interesting. I'm interested in the fact that you guys have referred to it as Robin Hood, because to me, he ends up stealing to do a good thing only because he was told to do it. But it's not like he is set out to do these noble things. Although I'm not quite clear on what this job was that landed him in prison in the first place, because then they make it sound like he kind of did that. This job that the whatever job, I can't remember what it's called, but they sort of indicate that he was trying to bring down this corporation or something.
Yeah, because the company stole millions, whatever. So he went and burgled the place and told everyone information and drove the car into a pool.
But that's the only indication that comes later on that even what he did was somewhat heroic. Like he's just a petty thief at the beginning of the movie, or at least I thought. But it's really interesting to me that you see that. Good. But it wasn't good. He stole.
But it was something that was already... What do you call something that's already been stolen, then? Because those people stole millions from other people, so he's...
A lost and found?
I don't know if any evil corporation refers to it as a lost and found area.
Bottom line is, we've got a pointless villain with a pointless motive to do pointless things.
That's true.
And then we've got a hero doing really good things to do good deeds. I think.
Okay.
I kind of lost my thought.
That's okay. You guys sort of touched on the fact that I think it was Jacob that touched on the fact that he's sort of given a second chance, and second chances are sort of a key theme in this movie. Why do you think so many people see the good in Scott Lang? Like his ex-wife, when his daughter says, "Is daddy a bad man?" His ex-wife says, "No, he just gets confused sometimes." Well, at the beginning of the movie, she hates his guts. Hank Pym says, "I've found my guy," but again, petty thief who did a really great thievery job. He does some thieving things, and he hires him to do more thievery things. But what do you think it is about Scott Lang, who is a thief, that keeps offering him a second chance? In fact, Hank Pym actually goes and breaks him out of prison after he robs him, which he says over and over again, "I let him rob him, blah, blah, blah." But what do you think?
He sees a chance to fix his own mistakes in someone else.
Oh, what do you mean?
So, like, what's his name?
Hank?
Yes, Hank.
Hank Pym.
Hank, like, the only, like, really, like, thing that he regrets besides letting his wife come with him on missions is not going after his daughter and, like, making her see him in the light that he wanted to be seen in. But he sees that in Scott, like, his daughter still thinks that he's this great person, so he thinks that he can save Scott from making the same mistake that he did with his daughter.
Okay.
I like that.
I also think he was trying to do that with his daughter, too, when it comes to his wife, because his wife tried to save... He was protecting his daughter from getting herself hurt because she wanted to help by getting in the suit, and then he said it was a bad idea because his wife died of this almost the exact same thing. She risked her life to save her... Wants her saved from dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like other thieves, quote, in the Marvel Universe, like Star-Lord.
Is Star-Lord, I guess he is a thief. Yeah, we talked about him.
He stole the thingy.
Yeah,
technically.
The thingy, can you be more specific?
It's 11:10, I don't know. What
the thingy that life. Did the thing.
Yes.
You know, the infinity.
And I would say Johann Schmidt. as well.
Who's Johann Schmidt?
Red Skull.
Yeah, but he's a bad guy.
But he also, yeah.
Well, I'm not saying there's no thieves in there, but the question is what makes this guy worth giving a second chance for?
It's almost like Captain America giving him a second chance.
What do you mean?
Taking a normal person who doesn't have any powers but skills and being someone who gives them a second chance because they see that potential in them.
Yeah.
Not evil, but just good, basically.
That is true.
Suicide Squad. I know they're villains.
Oops.
Suicide?
Yeah, you're
she's allowed to reference other things. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I just realized they're DC, but anyway. They're
ahead.
Villains, and then they take them from wherever they were. I think they were in prison, and they use them to save the world. They gave them a second chance, and they saved the world, even though they're villains.
Another thing is I feel like, back to what Ross said about Captain America, like, how I can relate this is, like, personality. Like, just, like, the way. Because, like, the way. Just because, like, Captain America, but the thing was like, Captain America, he didn't have any, like, special abilities when it came down to physicality. Right? Like, he was, like, lanky. He had, like, all this, like, asthma and everything, right? So he had things, a lot of stuff that were preventing him from being, like, the super soldier. But the thing was because of the personality, when the guy threw the grenade, Captain America was the only one that ran and tried to protect him.
Yep.
When everyone else fled. So it's like a personality thing. Like, he's like, that's something worth, right? So I feel like the personality, like, with Ant-Man definitely doesn't have that personality like Captain America. But, like, in a way, he kind, like, yeah, he kind of has, like, a heart. Right, like he feels emotions, like you know what I'm saying. But like, he has like a certain emotion that kind of draws you towards him to try and make him something special.
Hmm.
It's like a stray dog. You want to like? What?
This man is a stray dog.
He's like a stray dog
that controls.
He's a lost puppy that controls.
That's just
ants.
That's the thing, right? Is it always comes back to and he controls ants. Were you going to say something?
Well, I mean, in this movie, he's gotten, I think, more than, like, a second chance.
He's gotten a third chance, fourth chance,
yeah,
sure.
Like, you know, at the beginning, he was in prison, and he was fighting that guy. So, like, you know, he got out, he had a second chance, he went back to prison, got broken out, eventually got arrested again. So I think he's had more than, like, a second chance, but I think...
Well, the only reason why he got arrested that third time was because of the hope she thought that he wouldn't be able to do the task Hank was his name wanted him to do, because she wanted to do it herself.
You know, one of the things I like about this movie, I'm just thinking going about this, is with his relationship with Hank. Hank was the only one that offers him a second chance for who he is. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, he has to prove it with what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank sees him for who he could be. You know, if you look at Hank like his wife, all these other people, they want to see him change. She says he's got to get a job. The police officer says, I thought you were going to go straight. You know, all these... Actually, you know, maybe his daughter sees him sort of the same way. You can make that argument. But Hank gives... Hope is all... always on him about, you know, him not being worthy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Hank just sees this guy and sees who he can be. And I don't think it's just because he's going to be useful. I think he actually sees that there's value in this guy.
Yeah.
There's something that sets him apart.
So, like, kind of like going back to what I was saying, like, I think it's, like, Hank tells Cross that, like, he's seen too much of himself in him, and that's why he, like, left him, and he... Like, you know, didn't continue, like, you know, showing him his tricks and everything. Mm-hmm. I think he really looked at Cross as, like, you know, seeing himself, like, mentally.
Hmm.
But I think he really looked at Scott as, like, seeing himself more, like, with his heart.
Hmm.
Like, you know, Scott was doing this for a good reason. Like, he wanted to, like, you know, be good for his daughter. He wanted to, you know, help provide for his daughter to help, like, to the best that he could. But Cross just, like, you know, wanted money or just wanted the power. So it's, I think it's because Hank saw his own heart in Scott that he kept giving him those chances to really prove himself and to let him be the person he wants to be.
Hmm. Oh, yes. So, like, there, I feel like in all of our, like, podcasts, there's always, like, someone in the podcast that says something, like, about God. But, like, the thing is like, this is what I'm doing.
So whoa, here it comes, everybody.
Guys, you guys better listen up and listen.
Well, I mean, Screenfish is also about fake.
Okay, guys, hear me roar. Okay, so what I'm trying to say.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hear me roar, meow.
Okay.
But no, like, I feel like, because, like, this movie kind of, like, I don't think this was intentional, but it kind of resembles the relationship with, like, God and us. Because, like, he keeps getting forgiven. But, like, he keeps making mistakes, right? Like, and they're the same mistakes. Like, stealing all the time. All day. And then he gets caught all the time. But then it's always Hank that forgives him first. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm not saying Hank's God or anything.
No.
But I'm saying, like, there's like a role thing because, like, Hank is kind of saying, like, Hank was kind of being the God of the movie because, and then Ant-Man was being, like, us, like, now. How, like, Ant-Man kept doing, like, sinning and kept making, like, a mistake, right? And then Hank, as, like, quote-unquote the God of the movie, makes, like, forgives. So that's what, like, God did for us. So I feel like they kind of resemble the relationship, like, between, like, what God and us people have here today.
That's good. Daniel?
Kind of, like, I definitely agree with Jacob on how, like, Hank almost has, like, that kind of, like, God-ish role. And thinking about it, it kind of reminds me of the story of, I believe it's the prodigal son. Where, like, you know, the one son's like, oh, you know, give me my inheritance, although the father's not dead yet. The father agrees, and then he goes off and does, like, everything wrong. And he loses all of that money, and he loses everything. And he decides to go, like, back to the father. And you would think that the father would be, like, very disappointed and angry that, like, you know, he wasted all of that money, he wasted his life. But the father was there with open arms, and, like, you know, there was a whole party. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of, like, reminds me of, like, in the movie when, like, when Scott gets, like, arrested... again, like, you know, instead of Hank just being like, hey, like, you know, if you're just gonna get arrested, I'm not gonna help you, like, you know, he gives him the suit, he brings him to his house, like, it's like, you know, he lets him in with open arms, and that it just kind of, or it reminds me of that story from the Bible.
It's a good example. Good example.
Wow.
Does your past determine your future?
In some way.
Wow, I didn't expect a meltdown. But that comes up a few times.
Yeah. No, but, like, the thing is, I feel like, because, like, any mistakes you make in the past, like, even, like, the, like, criminals, like, people that murder, it kind of does, like, because it kind of does affect their future because they're in jail.
Okay.
So, like, it's like a consequence after. So, like, you don't do your homework, which was the past. And then the future, like your future is you're gonna get, like, detention or something.
Murders.
There. And then after that, like, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Wow. What about others think?
I think it can, like, affect your future if you let it. So in this movie, like, we see that Scott wants to change. I mean, like, he does tell Hank, like, oh, you know, I'm not gonna be going into any more places and stealing stuff. Technically, he does that, but, you know, he wants to be better for his daughter. Like what I said earlier, he wants to change so that he's able to provide for his daughter and be a better father. He doesn't really let his past of, like, you know, stealing, being arrested, really, you know, be a block or be, like, an obstacle. He just kind of, like, you know, leaps over and just, like, yeah, that happened, but this is who I'm going to be. So I think that it really, like, you know, if you let your past affect your future, then it will. But if you're able to, like, kind of step over that and actually change, then it won't.
Okay. Anyone else? want to add to that?
No. No. I'm not saying no, I don't want to add. I'm saying no, I don't think your past determines.
It doesn't, like, determine, yeah.
What do you mean? Why do you say no?
It can affect, yes, but I think the entire point of forgiveness or second chances is the fact that people accept, okay, this person made a mistake, this person did something wrong, and he realizes it, they own up to it, and that doesn't necessarily determine that they're just going to do it again. Like, some people, yes, but it's not predetermined that just because you do something, you're going to do it again.
That's true.
So you drawing a line between affecting and determining.
Yes.
So your past affects your future,
yes,
but it doesn't determine it.
Everyone, like, it depends upon what it is. Some people will use it almost as, like, a label. Like, instead of Scott being known as Scott, he was known as Scott the Thief.
Right.
Who did that one good job, and now everyone wants him to do other jobs, right? But, so it affects your future, but I don't think it determines.
Just like the Baskin-Robbins part.
Baskin-Robbins does not forgive like Hank Pym. I'm telling you that. Baskin-Robbins don't play.
You're so wicked for doing that, but I'm going to have to
fire you. I obviously have to fire you. Yeah, it's Baskin-Robbins. It's 31 flavors of punishment is what they give you.
Oh.
Yeah, you heard me.
Whoa.
This is a good time for our sponsor, Baskin-Robbins.
Baskin-Robbins.
You're
going to copyright us and sue us.
They're going to sue
us.
It's a brand name. I can mention it. Well, then we will be back with...
Ooh.
A good movie. It was based on Ant-Man. He could delete it, and no one would notice.
And we're out.
We will be back with Chapter 13, Lucky 13, with Captain America: Civil War, Ant-Man, the awkward middle part of this Avenger sandwich, if you will. And next week we will return with Civil War. And until then, to infinity and me. No?
Infinity War.
Sorry.
Infinity War. Sorry.
I said it wrong.
Infinity War and beyond.
It's like Celsior. It's to infinity war and maybe beyond.
Just perhaps.